הנה מה טוב ומנעים שבט אחים ואחיות and couples גם יחד. As they say in Sefer Peleus that when you have a Brit Milah, try to bring the Brit Milah to your home. Why? Because you're going to bring Eliyahu HaNavi. And once Eliyahu HaNavi comes, brings all the brachot. But when you have Shi'ur of Torah in your home, you're bringing Shekhinah, Hashem, to your home. So definitely, we hope that this class, this Shi'ur, should bring more haslacha and harlacha for the family, current family, and we should always share samachot together, and we should always hear good news from each other, especially from Israel and over.
Amen.
And we should always bring more and more peace in our families, in our world, and in our community. So I wanted tonight to start with this idea. I don't know if you knew what night is tonight when you choose tonight. You knew about it? Tu Be'av. 15 of Av. And 15 of Av was a date that brought peace between Shabbatim and between couples and between singles. Tu Be'av was the day that all the singles, they used to go to the vineyard and they used to pick their match. One day was special called Tu Be'av, 15 after Av, and another day was Yom HaKippurim. So Tu Be'av and Yom HaKippurim are compared to each other, are in the same level as far as when it comes to peace and harmony in the family. But tonight I want to focus on a little bit of some ideas about Shalom Bayit. Why? Because let me tell you something. Because first we witness our parents' Shalom Bayit. We grew up in the family and we see our parents. They talk to each other, they act. Then we become across our own Shalom Bayit when we get married. But I have a more important news. And what is it? Then we become witness of our children Shalom Bayit. Which one you think make us more curious and worried to our parents Shalom Bayit, ourselves Shalom Bayit, or our children Shalom Bayit? Which one?
Children. All of them.
Of course, but which one is more kind of makes our mind occupied and
children.
Okay, see, you don't have married children yet. You know, some people already are grandparents here, including me, you know.
I guess until we don't have our children married, you can't concentrate on ourselves. Then once our kids become married, then our focus shifts to their Shalom Bayit.
Ah, so that's the problem. That's a problem that we always, to tell the truth, we put our own Shalom Bayit second. And that's why we don't focus on our own Shalom Bayit that much. We think, how can I provide more for my children, even after marriage? And that makes us to fall behind and not to be a good role model for our children. If we could focus our own Shalom Bayit from beginning, you don't have to be worried about your children's Shalom Bayit. You don't have to be worried about your parents' Shalom Bayit. If we could be a good role model, that's it. When we were, I mean, I was in garment business, clothing business, going back 35 years ago, all you needed a good style. a good sample from Macy's, from friends, from somewhere. Once you found a good design, that's it. You make thousands copy from that design. If we could implement one good pattern of Shalom Bayit in our family, Bezrat Hashem, hopefully, every family, every couple have few children, their children have cousins, the cousins, they have this. If we could be a good role model of Shalom Bayit, a good pattern, a good design, you know how many people would copy us? You know how many families we can affect and influence with our own Shalom Bayit? And this is something that sometimes we forget about. I'm married to my wife, and my wife is married to me. I'm not married to my children, and my children are not married to me. So which one comes first? My wife, my husband, not my children. We make ourselves so occupied with our children, we don't pay attention to our own relationship with as a couple. I'm busy with the kids. These are not memories. That's how much more so when they get married and they have now children. You become a grandpa, grandma, that's it. What does that mean? That sometimes there is no problem with our Shalom Bayit. Mr. Hamil Laite, all needed to be recharged, new battery. We need to come up with the new attention, giving more attention to each other. Otherwise, our Shalom Bayit, the balls, everything is there. Just we need to revive it again. Just to a little bit water it, you see, it starts to grow up again. Attention! As you know, Robertson Platnik in Esha Torah was saying, when you get stuck on the road, you call AAA. AAA, tow truck. Same thing, there is a AAA in marriage when you get stuck. AAA. A. First A, I already said it. What is it? Attention. You start to give attention. Second A is affection. Listen, yeah, we already have children, of course, but still affection should be there. Yeah, when we go to party, of course, I dress up, I make up, I do this, I do that. Affection still should be there, even at home, more than outside. And third A is what, doctor? Appreciation. So attention, affection, appreciation. These three A is a triple A, which can get you exactly wherever you stuck as a tow truck to the right place. But tonight, I want to focus on different aspect of Shalom Bayit. And what is it? You know, based on recent study, they found out finally what is the reason of a divorce. So many divorces. Marriage. If they are not married, they don't get divorced. To tell the truth, same rule applies with Shalom Bayit. Shalom Bayit problems comes not because of lack of love. Actually, it comes because of love. Once there is love, you should know. Once there is love, there is expectation. Because we are a banker. Listen, we lend money, but we're looking for interest. You don't go to the bank and say, do you have interest-free loan? Sorry, we don't have. We lend you, no problem. If you have a good credit, of course we give you. But first, we need a down payment. You need to put down something. Second, we charge interest. I give you $10,000 loan, but you have to give me back $10,500. Unfortunately, this is the misconception of love in marriage. It becomes like a loan. I love you, you love me. You have to put down payment. If you love me, I love you. My love to you is a loan. You have to return it with interest. And that's the problem. Love in marriage is the source of Shalom Bayit problem. Because love brings expectation. Even between parents and children, when they show love, they expect. They don't get, they get offended. They get offended, they get judgmental. They get judgmental, they, oh, how that started? I thought you guys were so close. Of course, we're such a close friend, close family, close neighbors. But because of love, I started to charge him or charge her interest. And he didn't want, she didn't want to pay the interest. That's why Chachamim, they say, what could really make a Shalom Bayit strong that could replace love? What can really replace love in marriage? Start with C. Believe it or not, listening in marriage helps more than loving in marriage. The idea of all this misunderstanding or misconception and disappointments is because I was thinking now that we love each other, now it's going to be this, it's going to be that. I was in my dreams. And all of a sudden I see, you know, I ask him 10 times, that's love, that's not love. Why I have to force him to do this? Why every time I have to be the one to? That's the whole idea, that we forget about listening and commitment and following and cooperation. We only talk about, think about love. Why? Because movies, Hollywood, street, show us love as a sign, as a tool of pleasure. You give love to get love. You don't just give love for nothing. It's not, there is no such a free love. Even for our children, there is no such a thing called free love. Here, take it, don't worry, don't call me, don't text me, don't even come home. No, no, there is no such a thing free love. If there is no such a thing free love, then why we have to force or follow or show or pretend love in marriage? The marriage which is based on love is very fragile. Any minute could break. And that's why you see, last week's parasha we read about Shema Yisrael, and every day we read about it. Ve'ahavta Et Hashem Elohecha. Love Hashem, your God. Ha! B'chol levav, with all your heart, once you give up your own desire. B'chol nafshecha, with all your life, when you give up your life for Him. B'chol ma'odecha, with all your asset and wealth, when you're ready to give up and choose Hashem instead of money. Choose Hashem instead of life. Choose Hashem instead of desire. When you're ready to give up, that's called love. Not to give, to show compassion, to show kindness, to show happiness. This is not love. And that's why we are just misleading ourselves and our family. That love means when I give you benefit to get benefit. If there is such a thing called Leshem Shamayim, means with no expectation, if there is such a Ahava, Shelo Leshem Shamayim, as it says in Perkei Avot, Ahava She'eina Teluya LeDavar, a love which is not attached to any string, attached to any expectation, to any condition. I just give, like a sun who just shine, does not expect anything from us. That's good love. But are we ready for that? Of course not. And that's why we come to this kind of challenge of proving our each other love. You see, I love you more than you love me. You see, I'm a very lovely person. We try to just make it as a trademark, as a logo, that this is it. So therefore, when it comes to our children, Shalom Bayit, we have to know. As long as we show them the way as a role model, they will follow the same policy, the same way that we were listening to each other as a rule, as a base of a Shalom Bayit. They start to listening to each other. I mean, at least once a month, twice a month, couples call me, couples come visit, we meet. And mainly, the problem that they have is a lack of communication. They don't relate their feeling, they don't address their concern, or they don't show their feeling correctly to the other person. There is a lack of communication, broken bridge. That's why no cars could pass. Every time they try to pass, it's broken, they fall. And why is it? Because I have expectation, and I have my ego, I have my own dreams, and it's hard for me to share my dreams and my ego with someone else. The same way that I don't share my toothbrush with someone else, same thing, I have my own private life. Certain things, I keep it inside. I don't vent it out. And if I vent it out, it's going to be not important anymore for me. So in order to stay important for me, I have to keep it private. I have to keep it inside. And I don't reveal it. I don't reveal it. It builds up. It builds up, builds up, builds up. An explosion. How that started? Because I did something which made me to expect something. Someone told me, you know, I'm already this age, I already established, I have this education, I have this business, I have this income. How can I consider someone less than me? What does that mean? Means I want someone, when I show love, he or she can afford to return that love to me. We are not ready to invest with a 0%, to lend with a 0% interest. If I give you love, I need to see that you can handle it and return it with the interest to me. That's why people think, if I marry a rich man, rich family, if I marry a wise family, if I marry important family, if I marry a famous family, that's the thing. You know how many people at a young age are ready, hopefully, to marry these basketball players, these celebrities, even though it's triple their age. They think if they marry someone so famous like these idols, celebrities, that's how happy they're gonna be. That's the problem. That they believe that I want someone to raise me higher. I want someone to get me to the peak. And as you know, all these celebrities, all these basketball players, whoever you call it, 20 times they get married, 50 times they get divorced. Elon Musk, how many wives he has? And how many children he has?
I think he can afford it.
Now, why you think people want to marry him? Why? Even though they know he has already few other wives.
He's good looking.
Is it that it?
His personality.
And they know that if they have a child, their name is going to be XYZ. They don't have, his children, they don't have regular name. They don't have regular name. But they said he's a genius, he's rich, he's famous, he's this, he's that. And that's what gives the misconception, what do I gain out of this marriage? It's not what do I bring or give to this marriage. No one is ready to work on a land that when he plants, nothing grows. Oh, I work so hard. But he doesn't know. By you working hard on the land, it made you ready to grow experience-wise, intellectual-wise, that you had some goal in life. That's your growth. It's not what grows out of this land. If I could raise a family to bring certain generation to the world, that's my mission. It's not how much do I gain or benefit or enjoy. That's what you think. Abraham and Sarah, at the age of 99 and 89, still Hashem comes and gives them comfort. You're going to have a son. He sends 3 malachim to give him a good news. At this age, if Abraham and Sarah at the age of 50, 55, Hashem was telling them, listen, you're going to have children. But at the age of 99 and 89, Hashem is telling him, you're going to have a son. That's it, period. One son. Who's going to raise him? Listen, you just be worried about how you do your job. Your mission is, as long as you alive to raise him. The rest is up to him. And as you know, at the age of 37, when Yitzchak was 37, Hashem said to Abraham Avinu, mission accomplished. What happened? I want him back. Hey, you want him back? I just got him 37 years ago after 99 years waiting. Hashem said, you think I gave you children to stay with you? I gave you children to raise them, to get closer to me. So I need them back. They didn't ask any question. Abraham said, sure. Vayashkem Avraham baboker. Because he knew that he was just a messenger. To work on the land, Hashem is planting, not him. He's just watering. So whenever the gardener wants, cuts the flowers, or whenever he wants, he plants. If we focus on that, you want to base your marriage based on love, put it on Leshem Shamayim, unconditional love. So one of the rabbanim from Canada, I think that way, Rabbi Packhouse in Famalish, he said, we have a wrong conception. What is it? When it comes to children, we have unconditional love. We give. But when it comes to husband and wife, we have conditional love. I give, you give. You don't give, I don't give. Conditional. He said exactly opposite. That's wrong. Had to be reversed. Had to be, when it comes to children, raising children, had to be conditional love. Everything based on guidance, guidelines. Not whatever you want, no. There is a time you go to bed. There is a time you study. There is a time you watch. There is a time you pray. Everything with guidelines. Conditional love. Not open safe. No. Open bank account. No. Everything has to be, what did you do? What are you going to do for it? Conditional love. But when it comes to marriage, unconditional love. The same way that we treat our children with no expectation, just giving. If you're ready, do it in your marriage. Then you will see the real shalom bayit. But if not, okay, you don't want to give. You don't want to have unconditional love, no problem. Switch it to commitment, to listening. And to the truth, once there is listening and commitment, it's going to be a very internal connection that we get closer and closer to each other. We see that we are in good hands. We become one. Why? Because we're starting becoming one person. Vayihyu lebasar echad. Don't try it at home. The idea is that by listening students to the teacher, they get closer and closer. Not just by loving. Yeah, you don't have to do homework. Yeah, don't do this. Oh, can I not do this? But by listening, following each other's rules, that's how the connection comes. Sometimes we think more surprises, more gifts, more outside love is gonna bring inside love. Again, you are giving candy to the kids. The more candy they get more greedy. They want more. Don't feed your desire. Feed your commitment. Is anything else I could do as a commitment? And I tell you, sometimes when it comes to anniversaries, yeah, we do this, we do that. But when it comes next day morning, as if nothing happened, it wasn't me yesterday that I was. Why? Because without, listen, I show love instead of commitment. Love will make everything, cover up everything. So I want to conclude with this idea, which I said it many times in different series, different lectures. The same way, believe it or not, that our DNA transfer to the next generation, to our children, same thing. Our Shalom Bayit gets transferred to their marriages as well. Harav Zargari was saying that they did a study and research that unfortunately those kids who come from broken families, they go to two different direction, extreme direction, different from each other. Either the same pattern repeats on them too, they become also arrogant, they also become bullying or fighting or this and that, or they learn the lesson not to become like that. They become the most kind and compassionate husband, wife, parents to children. Two different extreme. Why? Because they saw the negative example. One learned not to be, and one said, let it be. So if Bezrat Hashem, we come back to our first question. If we care about our children, Shalom Bayit, most importantly, care about your Shalom Bayit. Don't worry about it. Even Hachamim, they suggest, don't pick up the phone. Don't answer the phone. We as a parents are biased. We cannot kind of say, oh, if I say to my son, to my daughter, you are wrong. Oh, you always this, you always that. If I say, oh, he or she is wrong, we are adding more fuel to the hatred. Better third party, better someone from outside. But what could we do? Work our own Shalom Bayit. How? Not love, but rather commitment and listening. And I'm sure you remember when I said it once, that there were two couples, always peaceful, happy. No one ever heard anything about them. So one of these Australian radio broadcasts, they wanted to interview them to see what's the secret of your harmony in life, in marriage. So they call up the husband, they interview him. He said, basically, twice a week, we choose a very quiet alley in downtown with a very quiet restaurant, with a very soft background music, with a very little light, just the candles, and very romantic, very, I go Wednesday, she goes Friday. So Bezrat Hashem, is good to be married. I said it to my Chatanim. Why? Because at least you have someone to blame. When they invite you, when they call you, why you came late, why you did this, why that, say, oh, sorry, my wife, sorry, my husband, you know. You have someone to blame. But if you could make it, you're not going to just make it for yourself. You're going to make it for all your generation. And sometimes, I tell through me myself, I'm embarrassed when I see people, they come, they talk about at the memorial of their grandfather, who? Grandchildren. Even though they had a language barrier, even though they couldn't even communicate that well, Farsi, English, but they come, they cry. Me, myself, unfortunately, I couldn't cry for my father, Zichron Livracha, which his yard side is day after Tu B'Av, means Thursday. But I see grandchildren. Why? because they inherited such a connection. When they see between grandpa and grandma, there is such a connection, they get connected as well. It's like a magnet. You're good with each other, everyone else try to be good to you too. They try to benefit from your goodness as well. So Hashem should help us, Bezrat Hashem, to keep our commitment going strong in order to have a stronger Shalom Bayit. And as you know, Ish ve Isha Zachu Shechina Benehem. One's husband and wife, they have Shalom Bayit, Shechina is between them. Business goes well. Children, Baruch Hashem, this. Why? Because of the Shechina. And my blessing to everyone's family and couple, those who are listening or those who are Bezrat Hashem listen later, the recording, that Hashem should make it easy for us to listen, to commit, and Bezrat Hashem to bring peace and shalom among ourselves. Baruch Hashem le'olam. Amen. If anyone has any question, Shabbat, it says once in Parshat Yitro in Aseret HaDibarot, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat, and once it said in Parshat Vayet Hanan last week, Shamor et Yom HaShabbat. Both are in Aseret HaDibarot, but one it says Zachor, one it says Shamor. So Hachamim, they said, since everything in Shabbat is double portion mon, that's why we put double chala, and that's why we have double candles. Shamor v'zach.
Anatomy.
مرد رحم نداره. There are many differences between, but not that many. I think maybe 4 or 5, not that many. I don't know, according to medical.
I mean, of course, there are physical differences, but from a standpoint of consciousness and thinking and logic, it's very similar. Of course, there are hormonal influences that happen during the certain times, but overall, women do pretty much everything that men do these days. They become surgeons, they become pilots.
Okay, that's as far as skills concerned.
Right.
He's saying body organs, body parts. Correct, nah?
Near
250. Next time, let me. I will count. In that way, more than with me.
Rabbi, you mentioned three C's. You talked about the commitment. What are the other two C's?
No, I said three A's.
Yeah, three A's you talked about. But
yeah.
Oh, there's only one C and three A's. Okay, I thought there was also two C's. No, I was listening. I was just, it was inferring that. That's,
he's going to quiz you. No, you got the
commitment
card. You
must cover more.
Oh, okay. Very good. For next lecture. Okay, it's a good topic for next lecture.
So is this a
Shalom
Bayit series?
I don't know. I mean, since it was two
Be'av,
I thought maybe we related to that.
But it's a very good topic. I mean, we can be fluid about it.
It could be anything.
But you know, we're fluid with that.
Again, this is something that we can practice it with our partners, with our family, with our children. This is something that we could use it next day. All right.
So one of the things that we really like about you, Rabbi Bakshi, even in the synagogue, and that a lot of the speeches that you give are very philosophical and are directly pertinent to life. Whereas a lot of rabbis, they just speak very, their speeches are limited to what's in the halacha and the technicalities of, oh, this said that and that said that. And those technicalities are not always have a very live connection to our daily lives. What you talk about is very, very relevant to the living of life, to the action of life, to the philosophy of life, to the daily interaction we have with our children, with our wives, with our friends. So that's very much.
We've been missing you the last few months.
Let me just share with you one thing that happened on Sunday. So خانم و بچه ها گفتیم you know what, let's go some kind of a park, something. So we went, there's a park by Douglaston. You see, when you go to Great Neck State Park, across the water, that boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful.
Yeah,
and there is a park over there.
Right.
So we went there. We sat. Is that Tohmaborde? Then what did you call it? We the park. I'm there. Rafting to Bazi Bacha. Sat. Kind of it was getting dark, close to 9. We came. Okay. Kill the machine. I looked, I said, oh, maybe as we were by the bench, someone called. I took my phone out, the key fell down. Okay, no, let me go check. Making a long story short, up to 10:30, we were searching for the key. And over there is all super with the guard and this and that. You cannot just park the car in the street. And also, this poor guard also came. We used his flashlight. We're looking. And the windows were down. I said, you know what? We have to come back. We cannot. It's getting 11 o'clock. It's late. We have to go. So he said, let's call Uber. We called the Uber. Uber says, okay, in 15 minutes. Okay, 11 o'clock, 15 minutes. It makes sense. 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 6 minutes, 6 minutes went back to 8 minutes, 8 minutes back went to 15 minutes again. The guy was not coming. So we hang up. We tried to go to the lift, the other. The reception was not good over there. So finally, at 11:30, I think, we called one of my friends. I said, listen, we got stuck here. We are not too far, just 10 minutes ride. If you could come pick us up. He said, no problem. He came. We went there. Monday morning, yesterday, after tefillah, I said, I have to go find the key. Otherwise, I have to either tow the car or I have to call the locksmith to come to make a key. And I spent another almost 45 minutes. I said, it's light. You don't need flashlight. I searched again. Everyone who was passing by said, what are you looking for? Looking for treasure, gold? I said, no, I lost my car key. I said to myself, listen, Hashem wants to teach me something. What can I learn from this? I said, you know what? Hashem wants to teach you that always did. Always the key for any lock, solution for any problem has the closest distance to it. They are very close. Solution and problem are next to each other. You have to focus on that. Key and the lock are next to each other. I think I said Hashem wants to teach me this. So I didn't go to look far anymore. I looked around the car. And I said, you know what? Let's go inside the car. I put my hand under the driver's seat. The key was there. You find it exactly that you couldn't imagine, the closest. And I said, you know what? I think I learned the lesson. Don't look far for a solution. Always solution is near around the problem.
And the lesson would have been a lot stronger if it was raining at the time.
I said, if it would have happened last night that I had to leave it, and then this morning, and this and that. But what you say about, oh, other rabbi, other thing, sometimes I use my own experience, life experience, in order to apply it for others. Of course, sometimes it's not easy, but believe me, rabbi also, they have their own challenges. Doctors have their own challenges. Everybody has their own challenges. It's not that anyone is exempt because it's this and that. But we have to just learn the lesson. Just listen to see what Hashem wants to teach us with every experience. Bezat Hashem, thank you.
Thank you
very much. And my kids, they know. Always, I usually put keys in the car. This time, that was a new car. So I said, you know what, let me carry it. But they know, always, I leave the key in the car. That's why I don't want a problem looking for the key. Thank you, anyone.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Should be back. Aslam.